the most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
Made it to hour number four of Sports Talk. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams, and it's my privilege today to be here at Oak Ridge Nissan, right here in Oak Ridge, where the Turnpike meets up with Illinois Avenue. Jimmy Hyams, it is a gorgeous afternoon, is it not?
Well, it is. It is beautiful. I can't divulge my secret location, but you're in the secret city, so we know that. But yeah, it's a beautiful day. We've had some wonderful days, mixed in with a little bit of rain, but you got to like this time of year, at least I do, because you wake up, there's a little bit of chill in the air in the morning, it warms up a little bit during the day, but we have a gorgeous day today.
Oh, we sure do, and here's hoping that everybody has a gorgeous weekend, and we look forward to catching up with our friend Steve Hamer a little bit later this hour for some Hamer time, and we have some other fun things we're going to bring you between now and the end of the program at 7 o'clock. We also will remind you that we have Saturday Sports Talk in the morning from 8 until 10, and Eric Kane and I will talk some with Eric Ainge, and then we'll also have an interview with Joe Nathan that really looking forward to catching up with Joe. Former Major League reliever who calls Knoxville home. Then we'll have the lead lap at 10 o'clock, and that leads up to another Vol Network Classic where, what a game. Tennessee was down big against Georgia in 2006, and it just simply took over the contest, and it wasn't even close after that.
Yeah, Tennessee ended up winning by 18, so you're down by 17, and you win by 18. That is a pretty big turnaround. A big game for a number of players, whether it was Eric Ainge or Arian Foster or Antonio Wardlow, who got the block punt for a touchdown. But just a big game for Tennessee. And I tell you, I thought when David Cutcliffe got in the groove calling the plays in that particular game, Tennessee just could not be stopped.
Could not. So that's the Vol Network Classic that you'll hear tomorrow afternoon. And can't wait to see what the second half of the Vol Network quote-unquote season, the Vol Network Classic season includes, because it has been so much fun to hear the mix of football and basketball games. But again, we look forward to catching up with Steve Hamer a little bit later this hour. But right now, there's a golden attaboy that hangs in the balance. It is time for the Sports Fix at 6. What is tonight's trivia question?
John, we visited with former Tennessee great pitcher R.A. Dickey yesterday and won a Cy Young in Major League Baseball. But he was a great pitcher while he was at Tennessee. But there was one SEC team that, as fate would have it, he never faced during his career at Tennessee. Name that team. Name the only SEC team that R.A. Dickey did not face during his terrific career as a Vols pitcher.
And we should tell you and remind you that this was the days of the 12-team conference, so yeah. Missouri and Texas A&M are not a part of this equation. But 656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. Let's go to Danny. Hello, Danny.
Hey, John. Hey, John, how you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
How you doing, Jimmy?
Hey, Danny, doing well.
One team. I'm going to say Alabama.
It is not Alabama.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
All right. Hey, Danny, we sure do appreciate it. Again, the number to call to give us your trivia guess, 656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. It's Al who joins us next. Hello, Al.
Hello.
Hi.
I didn't hear the first Vanderbilt. I know that's not right.
Well, you're right, it's not. So,
okay.
Sorry.
All right, thanks.
Al, we sure do appreciate it. 656-9900 to get your guess in. 656-9900. Star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. It's Jeremy who joins us next. Hello, Jeremy.
Hi, sir. Is it LSU?
Not LSU.
Not LSU. All right. Thank you, sir.
Jeremy, we sure do appreciate it. Thank you so much. Again, 656-9900 to get your question or to give us your guess. Jimmy, repeat the question if you would.
Former Tennessee star pitcher, there was only one SEC team that he did not face during his career at Tennessee. And, John, by my calculation, the next person has a 1-in-8 chance of getting it.
Well, that's an absolute exact. You're exactly right. Let's go to Jeannie. Hello, Jeannie. Hi, Jeannie.
Hey.
Jenny, I'm sorry. Hi, Jenny.
Hi. I guess Mississippi State.
Well, that 1-in-8 chance paid off. Yes, it is Mississippi State. That is the one team that R.A. Dickey did not face in the SEC during his career as a Tennessee pitcher. Jenny, I know you're giggling. It's not for this. It's got to be some other reason. But congratulations.
My husband's laughing at me.
Oh, is he? Well, you get the last laugh.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we get to, it's rarefied air to claim the golden attaboy, but it's even more rare to claim the golden attagirl. So outstanding work, Jenny. That is so well done. It was at the time that R.A. Dickey was with Tennessee, you didn't have the SEC tournament as it existed before or now since. You had the East Division tournament and you had the West Division tournament. So not only did R.A. Dickey never get to pitch against Mississippi State, Tennessee didn't even play Mississippi State while he was in Knoxville. But you are our winner. So, again, you have a golden attagirl that is yours for life, and now we invite you to hang on and listen to your audio reward.
I was styling out there like a champion. Yeah, sit back with your feet up and watch the champion in action.
I am truly the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
There is no one that does it better than the Macho Man Randy Savage.
But to be the man, you gotta beat the man, and I'm saying... Woo! Right here in Nashville, Tennessee, pal. I'm the man.
You're looking at the next WWF champion, and that's the bottom line because Stone Cold said so.
You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around.
And again, we celebrate the mad trivia skills of Jenny, tonight's winner in the Sports Picks at 6. And, Jimmy, we look forward to another week of challenging trivia questions next week.
Yes, we do. And we certainly appreciate those that continue to participate. And hopefully soon we will be able to issue prizes.
Hope we get to do that very, very soon. We'll get a break and be back with more to join us on Sports Talk, 656-9900, 656-9900. The program today at Oak Ridge Nissan, right where the Turnpike meets up with Illinois Avenue. For 99.1, the Sports Animal.
When special guests call in to 99.1, the Sports Animal, you hear them on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline, stanleyfence.com.
Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. The program today here in Oak Ridge at Oak Ridge Nissan. To join us, 656-9900, 656-9900.
So we are rerunning the Tennessee-Georgia game, the big comeback by the Vols. We're doing that on Saturday. And one of the players in that game was Jonathan Wade, outstanding defensive back. He was on Sports 180 with Josh Ward, Heather Harrington. And Jonathan Wade was asked, what do you remember about that 2006 Georgia game?
I remember the halftime speech. Let's start there. Let's go back to the night before where I had Popeyes. My brother brought me Popeyes. That was me, Jason Swain, Robert Meacham, I think one other guy, all ate Popeyes, which probably was kind of like a no-no. But we did it anyway. The halftime speech, we were down, I think, 24-3. And we'd already lost to Florida by, like, 2 points. The halftime speech, I think, was done by our strength and conditioning coach at the time, Rod. He told us to just go get on the bus. That's actually what he told me. He said, go get on the bus. And it kind of just, he left it there. And that fired us up, and we came back out at the halftime knowing that if we lose this, it's over. We had just went through a bad season the year before, you know, and we didn't, there's no way we wanted that to happen again. We had to change something. So there, I probably remember way too much about that game, to be honest.
So what did it feel like to be down like Tennessee was at the end of the game when you rallied for the victory?
Truth moment, I had no idea what the score was when the game was over. I knew we won. It happened, we went from 3 to like 55. So, I mean, it went so fast. There was so much going on. Like, if something major happened every series coming out of halftime. Even to the point where they returned a kick for a touchdown where I missed the tackle. And that's how they got end up with 30, or when that was their next touchdown that they scored. It just was back and forth, and we didn't have time for any errors. So, like, everything matters at that point. That's when it's time where you have to do exactly what your coaches tell you to do. A lot of people miss that, but the only way you have a chance to come back in a game like that is to actually be fundamentally sound.
Jonathan Wade was asked, after that 2005 season, which Tennessee had a losing record, what changed within that program to allow the team to play the way it did in 2006?
2005. When you watch about 10 to 12 guys that you as an athlete have seen, have been around, and you see them not get drafted the way that you thought they were. And for me, I was redshirted. So that was my class. Those were my classmates. I saw them not reach the promise in some cases that they were hoping for, that we had been talking about for four and a half years. And at that moment, you have to decide you're either going to do this or not. And it was a group of us, Marvin Mitchell, Turk McBride, Inky Johnson, Robert Meacham, Jason Swain, Brett Smith, Justin Harrell. I can name about Antoine. I can name about Jonathan Heffney. I can name about five other guys that stayed. We never went home after that season. When that season ended and we did not go to a bowl game, we stayed up there and we vowed to not leave each other. And that was where it started.
Wade was involved in a controversial play when Tennessee beat Florida in 2004. There was a lot of chomping going back and forth, a lot of barbs being thrown during the week of the game. And then there was a situation in which Wade got into it with Dallas Baker. And what basically happened is Wade got in the first action. Dallas Baker retaliated. Baker got caught. Wade was asked, what do you remember about that?
Everything. yeah, I got in a lot of trouble for that. You want another truth moment? My dad called me when he heard about that and told me that was a huge mistake. I should not have done that. That they go come to me the entire game. But you know, I'm just excited. It was my first start as a corner. Me coming, you know, only as a corner instead of going both ways. And Dallas, he's big. He was 6'3", 6'4", and I'm not 6'3" or 6'4". And you know, as the games are playing on, if you go back to the game against Cal, I hit DeSean Jackson in the face on the second play of the game. Playing DB, you got to work mind games. You have to. You're at a disadvantage. The offense, the receiver, the quarterback, the coaching staff upstairs in the skybox, everybody knows what's going on except you. So you got to be able to have some type of thing to where you can, you know, attack. So talking to him, frustrating, we were into it the entire game. And I took a chance, I kid you not, to shove him, see if he would react, and he did. We got lucky. That goes left. I probably never play again.
I'm just sad that the Gator Chomp was before the Twitter era began, because I would love that gif.
Absolutely.
Right now, Jonathan.
Who you telling? I would have been great for social media when I was in school, but God knew what he was doing by not allowing it to be present when I was there.
And the call from the dad came when Wade did the Gator Chomp during the week preceding the Tennessee-Florida game. All right, more from Jonathan Wade. What was being a teammate with Inky Johnson, what was that like? What did it mean to you? What did you learn from him?
What haven't I learned from Inky? So you're not supposed to say, that's not correct. I'm sorry. What haven't I learned from Inky? Pause. I remember going to the hospital the night after the game. I went to the hospital. I believe it was the night or the morning after the game. He never, ever, ever allowed anyone to see him down. He was never down. He was already on to the next week for us. And in that scene, because I remember talking to Robert Ayers about that. Me and Robert Ayers were suite mates at the time. And he was telling me, just in a guy-to-guy close moment, that couldn't have been me. You know, I don't know how I would have I don't know how to respond to that. But he never wavered. He never wavered. And that showed me that when God has something for you, you got to, like, allow him to do whatever that is, because you may think your arm's gone, but that arm has now put him on a platform to where he can speak to millions of people, possibly in a way that would have never happened if he played. There's your answer.
Wow. From Jonathan Wade. All right, one more comment from the former Tennessee defensive back. So, Jeremy Pruitt has certainly done a really nice job of building a culture. And so Wade was asked, how has Pruitt been able to do that in comparing that to the culture that was built by Tennessee when Wade played there?
Well, the players make the plays. Coach's job is to put us in position, prepare us and put us in position to win, you know, be successful. So the players still have to go out there and want to perform at a high level every snap, every day. Until that happens, nothing will change. Until it's self-policed in the locker room, nothing will change. There's nothing a coach is going to do. It has to be internal.
Yeah, how does that happen? Where does that come from to where you get that internal policing and you have the right kind of leadership in place to hold others accountable?
Well, if you look at business, a lot of people play the role before they ever get hired. So I'm sure as a head coach of a university such as Tennessee, Knoxville, in order to get that job as a coach, you have to be able to manage these kids that you are trying to turn from 18 to 22. You know, we're wild. We come from nothing in some cases. You know, we're there because we have a scholarship, not because of grades or whatever the case is. So you got to be able to manage all that. But again, on the field, if it's not a decision that's made up in the locker room that we're going to go practice hard, that we're not going to take today off, that we're going to touch the line every time they ask us to touch the line, if we're going to get to the morning run, if you don't make that decision, it doesn't matter. Coach Pruitt can have the best speeches. He can be the best motivator in the world, but if it's not inside of the athletes, it's not going to happen. And I don't know because I'm not there. Funny, I'm actually on the way to Knoxville right now. I'm in Memphis, driving to Knoxville as we speak. But it's got to be the guys inside the locker room. In the locker room, the players make it happen. Period.
That's Jonathan Wade, former Tennessee defensive back. Really interesting comments from him about a variety of things. Very well spoken. John, I enjoyed listening to what Jonathan Wade had to say.
Oh, it was very enjoyable. And also love how he tells a story, and he's got stories to tell. So great guest for Josh and Heather to have, and just – so much fun to hear the battle with Dallas Baker in the Florida game in 04, and then and then all that was going on. And who knows, maybe we should have Popeyes on the team meal list before the night before ball games, because it seemed to pay off in Athens.
Well, and now Jonathan Wade, if I remember, he is from Shreveport, Louisiana, and Popeyes started in Louisiana. I think it was in New Orleans. So maybe that was one reason that was his special pregame meal or whatever. But that might have explained his desire to eat Popeyes. But, yeah, really, really good stuff. Enjoyed hearing from Jonathan Wade.
And can say that there have been a couple of other organizations that have followed the lead of the Twins. The Twins are paying their minor league ball players through the end of August. They're $400 a week, and so along with full benefits. So it's just great to hear. The Cincinnati Reds are going to do it through September 7th, And the Houston Astros are going to do it for their minor leaguers through the end of August as well. So hopefully more and more teams will get in line and do what they can to help those that don't look like they're going to have any kind of a season.
Well, good for them. I'm glad they have stepped up, and hopefully more teams will step up and do that as well.
That's Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. We'll get a break. When we return, we look forward to catching up with Steve Hamer as it's time for Hamer Time. The VFL joins us next on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Hey, this is VFL Joshua Dobbs, and we're counting it down. It's just
99 days until
it's football time in Tennessee.
This Sports Radio WNML Countdown to Kickoff is brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Find out more at tvacreditunion.com.
Go Hawks!
Stop. Hammer time. You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
It's Friday. We're closing in on the finish line to the work week, and that means, as you can hear, the dulcet tones. It's time to check in with Steve Hamer. Hamer time on Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal. We're here at Oak Ridge Nissan. As joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline is the Ball for Life himself, Steve Hamer. Steve, how are you?
I am doing absolutely fantastic on a beautiful day here in East Tennessee. Couldn't be more pretty this afternoon, so just enjoying the weather.
There's a lot to enjoy. And you can tell that people are chomping at the bit as we've seen some sports start to return, NASCAR racing and different things like that. And then you have the, of course, spotlight that follows the league sports that people can't wait to see exactly what the NHL is going to do. As it says, it's going to, when it starts up again, it'll be an expanded playoff field. Don't know yet the plans for the NBA, but we have seen today that July 31st is being targeted as a return date for what could be perhaps 5 or 6 games played by all teams, and then the playoffs begin. What have been your thoughts on just watching the NBA examine when it might want to gather its teams together and proceed with the season that stopped mid-March?
Yeah, I think it's time. I really do. I think America, I think the world needs to have something good to happen. Given the fact that we've had such a tragedy and such uproar, here in America this past week, especially up in the state of Minnesota, we just need something good to happen, something to turn our outlooks to, and something positive. So, I think the NHL has just done a wonderful job of hey, we're going to have this amount of teams. We're going to try to get it done. Let's go for it. A lot of states are opening up and wanting professional teams to come in. And the NBA, people want to see the NBA finish the season one way or another. And for them to play 5 to 6 games, to finish out the regular season and then to jump into a playoff scenario, I'm all for it. And I think, I speak for a lot of people that we're just ready to get some semblance of normalcy back.
I saw some comments from Damian Lillard, and it's kind of, we'll just say, it's been fluid. At first it was he didn't have any interest in being on the floor if indeed his team had no shot to make the postseason. He's kind of backtracked a little bit on that, but still he said he would be there for his teammates. But his initial comments were he didn't want to suit up unless there was a legitimate shot for Portland to make the playoffs. Tell me, what do you think? They're about 3.5 games out, if I remember. What did you think about his remarks?
John, I think they're ill-timed. I really do. Given the fact that so much of our society here in America is really struggling in terms of the economic factor, there are many, many people out of work, and it comes across as, hey, this is just another rich guy that doesn't want to do his job unless, he can make a whole lot more money and, unless, he has a legitimate chance of making the playoffs. But, I think in reality, what he should have said was, hey, I'll do whatever it takes. If my team asks me to play, I'm going to go out and play, whether we have a chance of making the playoffs or not. Because, maybe by me playing, that could maybe bring some goodwill back to the people of Portland. some people that are struggling. Maybe, you know, that could turn their attention to something that's positive. So I think it was just a bad time for him to say that, given the fact that there are so many people that are either lost their job or they're just out of work right now. So not a good time.
Our guest, Steve Hamer, and I agree entirely with your remarks, and I also wonder exactly what we would see from if anybody else would follow in that lead. I do think that people would jump at the opportunity 4 minutes, but I also wonder if this wouldn't be, hey, you're under contract, you're healthy, you should want to suit up with your teammates. Because, I mean, regardless of whether or not you're playing out the string or not, you are under contract, and a contract you've agreed.
Sure. You know, you've agreed to play a certain amount of games. You've agreed to that contract.
I'm sitting here talking. What's going on?
You're very wealthy, and a lot of people will look at that and think, you know, this is just not a good look. It's just not something that's going well for, you know, in society. It's something that's not going well, period. They need to have something positive to look towards, and it's just not a good look. You need to honor that contract.
Steve, I do want to ask you this. As far as the NBA playoffs, there were some talk about them coming back and going to the playoffs right away. And then others have said, no, you don't want to do that. If you come back and play right away, you'd run the risk of injury. But some said yes, but at least you're only having 16 teams there, so there's less chance of injury and there's less chance of catching the virus. So do you think there's merit to the NBA returning and going directly to the playoffs?
I think there could be some merit there. Because I think, you know, to my knowledge, Jimmy, they're going to allow some family members to travel to a hub city like Orlando or Las Vegas. There is some merit there, but I think you run the risk of a, you know, catastrophic injury because, you know, let's face it, these athletes are in, you know, were in tip-top shape, and for them to come back, you know, and just get right into the playoffs, get right into that intensity, I think you're running the risk of a really, really bad injury. And, you know, no one wants to see that. So I think it would behoove them to maybe have some games, you know, 5-6 games, get ready, get the teams geared up, however many teams they want to allow to play, let them have a chance to play to get their bodies back into playing shape and go from there. I think we could really have a great playoff. You know, I'm looking forward to maybe a Boston and L.A. finish. You know, that could mm-hmm. happen.
There was also some discussion about, yes, let's have 5 or 7 games. Let's have some kind of deal because some of them wanted Zion Williamson involved, and they thought that that would help to have more eyeballs watching him. But then somebody said, look, the NBA is about entertainment, but it's also about integrity. I would hate to see them manipulate rules just so they can get Zion Williamson on the court. Your thoughts?
I think you're exactly right, Jimmy. I think you're going to hurt the integrity of the game if you're just looking to get Zion in, especially when they're outside looking in. Let's face it, Jimmy, whoever they have in the playoffs right now, people are going to watch because we're so hard up for sports. You know, we want something to cheer about. So it really doesn't matter who's in the playoffs as long as we have live action. You know, and you can say what you want about having fans in the stands and how it could, you know, be something that really, you know, makes the players play better, makes them play harder. But you think that as long as we've got a live game going on, I really don't care who is playing. I'm going to watch. I mean, I'm tired of watching Korean baseball, Jimmy.
Our guest, Steve Hamer, the Ball for Life, joining us for Hamer Time this week. And I'll throw out an apology. I did not mean to talk over Jimmy. I just was so excited to talk to Steve, I had to jump in and interrupt Jimmy a couple of times. This is the 25th anniversary. And I know that one of the things I always enjoyed about you, Steve, was whether you were at Tennessee or since you've been gone from the University of Tennessee, you've loved all Vols and Lady Vols sports. And I know that you were a regular attendee at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. So I'm just wondering, what is it like to realize that 95 College World Series team, that was 25 years ago now?
Wow. You know, I was reading about that today on Twitter, and I was just I was taken aback. I could not believe that it's been that long since that magical run by the Volunteers at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. I remember the days of walking over there after practice, or even when my playing days were through at UT, and I'd walk over there and you know, just to be around that atmosphere, the buzz of just a magical run. You know, Coach Delmonico did a wonderful job of leading that baseball team, and you know, I just couldn't wait to get to Lindsey Nelson Stadium to watch nine innings. And you know, I think Coach Vitello, we're going to get that back. You know, obviously it really hurt for their season to be cut short because they were off to such a great start. And I think that, you know, they had a chance to really compete at a very high level, especially in the SEC and maybe even beyond. So, you know, looking forward to them getting it back again next year.
Yeah, the NCAA regionals would be taking place this weekend. Last year, the Vols made it to Chapel Hill. Did you have a number of friends on the baseball team, and who were some of your better friends on other groups of Vols and Lady Vols while you were in Knoxville?
Wow, you know, Todd Hilton was just fantastic. You know, of course, he was just an awesome athlete. You know, whatever sport he was going to play, was an awesome athlete. And Kelly Jolly back then was a great friend of mine, you know, and she's gone on, obviously, to do great things. She's going to lead the Lady Vols in a terrific direction here next year. You know, we supported everyone. It was much more of a family. There was great camaraderie between every sport, you know, whether it was Sea Ray Relays over at Don Black Track, or, you know, going over to watch the Lady Vols play volleyball. You know, just such great memories of being on the hill and again, having the opportunity to be on the hill again to watch in a professional capacity. I'm just so overjoyed and blown away to get that opportunity again.
Steve, the NCAA has extended the dead period through July 31st, and I don't know all of the impacts it'll have with AAU basketball. I don't think they're having these tournaments going around out there. How much do you think that impacts AAU basketball and also the players on these AAU teams?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think that I may be in the minority in saying this, Jimmy, but I think AAU basketball has become such a money racket that it's really rubbed me the wrong way. And, you know, I've got a son that has gone and played in a lot of AAU tournaments, and the amount of money to get into these tournaments is just astronomical. And, you know, sometimes you have coaches there, sometimes you don't. But, you know, this is a critical period for a lot of kids that want to be seen. But again, I remember the days of AAU basketball being just about basketball. You know, I remember a time when coaches came to see you play. And it was much more than just about money. So, you know, I hate the fact that there's not going to be a whole lot of AAU basketball and not a whole lot of coaches coming to watch. But maybe this is the time for us to reflect and think back. Look, let's bring some of this integrity back to this AAU basketball scene. You know, let's not make this thing just about money. Let's make it about the kids again. Let's let them go out and have fun and have the opportunity to play in front of a bunch of eyes. So, you know, I think this could be a good thing.
Do you think that the situation we have going on right now with the NBA, there's no combine, they're not completely sure when they're going to have the draft, do you think this hurts Eve Pons, and do you think because of this he should return to Tennessee?
Absolutely. I think it really hurts him because, you know, NBA scouts and executives, they want to see someone play in person. Mm-hmm. You know, video is great. Video is great. It gives you the opportunity to see just different parts of what people do, and oftentimes it's the best parts of what people do on the court. But, you know, NBA executives and scouts, they want to see, you know, well, how does this guy react in this situation? How does he react when he gets when they pull him out of a game? You know, what does he do with his teammates? How does he interact with his coaches? And that's really detrimental right now to E. Pons. And, you know, fortunately for Tennessee, I think it's going to give him more than enough reasons to come back and finish his career at UT. Because let's face it, You know, if he comes back and Coach Barnes does the job that I think he's going to do, you know, the sky's the limit for UT basketball.
Steve, I got to tell you that here at Oak Ridge Nissan, not only do they have an incredibly friendly staff, but they also have a killer sound system. And it wasn't but 2 minutes after you joined us that Hammer Time came on here. And right now we've got a great vocal performance by Boys to Men. How high up your list were Boys to Men?
It's so crazy that you say that because there's a certain my wife and I don't watch a whole bunch of television, but we have a show that we watch on Monday nights called Songland, and it's on NBC. And
yep.
Boys to Men was the featured artist on Songland, and they're making a comeback. They are producing an album, and they're making a comeback, and it took me back to 1995, John and Jimmy. I remember sitting in Thompson Bowling Arena watching Boys to Men. Afterwards, we got to meet them, and it's one of the highlights of my life. I was just so enamored with Boys to Men. Great music.
That's right, because it is so hard to say goodbye to yesterday.
Well done.
Hey, and the same to you, Steve Hamer. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a fantastic weekend, and we will catch up with you next Friday.
Excellent. Thank you guys so much. Y'all have a wonderful weekend.
You too. Thank you. That's Steve Hamer of Hamer Time. And, of course, I'm thankful for Jimmy and Steve for putting up with me and my interrupting. We'll get a break and be back to close out today's edition of Sports Talk on 99.1, The Sports Animal.
From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting.
A real woman could stop you from drinking.
It has to be a real big woman.
This is Sports Radio WNML.
A final segment to today's edition of Sports Talk. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams, and it's our privilege. So hard to believe that it is our last, it's the last weekend in May. June starts Monday, but that also means here at Oak Ridge Nissan, where Sports Talk has been broadcast today, right where the Turnpike meets up with Illinois Avenue. Scott Gropp, it is the month-end closeout, and that means great savings for everyone who makes the short 10-minute drive from anywhere.
That's exactly. John, is that your real voice?
It is today.
It's so radio. We were just talking about that, folks. But hey, you need to see him in person. He looks just like he sounds, smooth and suave. Make the 10-minute drive, get some pandemonium, save thousands of dollars, come out here and meet Brother John. I'm just telling you, folks, it is crazy right now. We're having a monster day thanks to you folks here in East Tennessee, and we're going to be here all weekend long. It is the last weekend of the month, and you know what we do? We pull all the stops, loading the wagon, not worried about any mule going blind. I mean, I'm talking all the money for your trade, up to $11,000 for that beater, whether it drives or not, or up to $7,000 over Kelley Blue Book, so we can pay it off no matter what you owe. And listen, other dealers have said they can't, you know, customers have gone there, they can't trade, won't give us enough, won't do this. Hey, you go to your number one volume dealer. I'm going to load the wagon, and we trade with, if you can fog a mirror, you'll leave here in a brand new Oak Ridge Nissan.
I don't think there's any question. You make it as easy as possible. It's a very simple formula, and again, it's great service before, during, and after the sale, and that is what made you number one in the state of Tennessee and number six in the United States of America.
I'm telling you, folks are making the drive, folks. Right here in Little Oak Ridge, Tennessee, it's a beautiful day. We're going to be here all weekend, last weekend of the month. You make the 10-minute drive, 0% for 84 months, no payments till next year. You can get a $1,000 stimulus gift card if you need it with the purchase of a new or pre-owned vehicle. Hey, it's like a Burger King. You can have it your way if you make the drive to save thousands of dollars. Tell them where, John.
Right here at Oak Ridge Nissan, right where the Turnpike meets up with Illinois Avenue. Scott, thank you so much.
Thank you, John. Appreciate you.
Great to see you.
You too, my friend. In the flesh.
That's right. And you can come on down Oak Ridge Nissan, again, right where the Turnpike meets up with Illinois Avenue. So, Jimmy, what have you got going on this weekend?
Well, I've got a little yard work that's going on. I get a little round of golf that I'll play in, trying to get a workout, try to take a daily walk in the neighborhood. So that's kind of what I'm looking for. And hopefully the weather will continue to be as gorgeous as it has been today.
Yeah, there'll be more racing with NASCAR, and so I think we can look forward to that. Everybody was obviously looking forward to Tiger and Phil and Peyton and Brady, but gosh, is there anything else that's on your to watch list?
Yes, Lance Armstrong.
Oh, right.
Yeah, episode one was really good. I'm looking forward to seeing episode two, and just how he tries to portray himself. Because at one point he said, "Well, I'm going to tell my story the way I remember it." Okay, maybe not the way it happened, just the way I remember it. Yeah, but anyway, and gosh, you haven't seen that many people fall from grace the way he did. Just a very compelling story. So I'm looking forward to seeing that on Sunday night.
And we should tell you that another thing we've told you about, the Twins are going to pay all of their minor leaguers through the end of the season. The Reds are going to do it through September 7th, which is a week beyond what not only the Twins but the Astros. The Royals are also doing that. And the Twins also are not going to cut anybody. They're not going to release any players. So anybody that was on their minor league roster right now, they are not. They're going to pay them through this summer, which it's that's amazing to hear.
Yeah, and good for them. And look, I think almost I really think all of them can, and I think they're in position to be able to help them. It's not a ton of money for these guys, so I'd like to see them do it. Obviously, the A's won't, but I'd like to see as many of them step to the plate and help these guys out. I didn't mean to say that step to the plate, but anyway, it is. I'd like to see them help these guys out. As much as they can, and I really hate to see what I think is about to happen, and that is the gradual decline of minor league baseball.
Yeah, it was something to catch up with Brian Cox about that yesterday, and here's hoping that after the reshaping of minor league baseball that it can become very sound and move forward in the right direction. But, Jimmy, thanks for everything this week. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll talk to you on Monday.
Great job in the secret city, John.
Thank you. Great job in the secret studio. Yeah. Say thanks to Sam and Ben. Folks, have a great weekend. This is Sports Talk.